once again to this Lyconia's podcast on location with Martin Jorgensen. This is your host, Martin Jorgensen, speaking. And as you might hear from different sounds right now, the beginning of this location podcast will take place in my kitchen, where I will make a cup of coffee. Because we're going outdoors today, it's not going to be far outdoors. It's just going to be out in my garden, because we're shooting flowers in the winter garden. We don't have any snow outside now. I would have loved to shoot some snowscapes, but that wouldn't be the case. I will have to do with the winter flowers. But right now we actually have some very neat small flowers in the garden. Snowflakes and aconites, winter aconites, also known as Erantis in Latin. And it's my plan to shoot those. The weather outside is beautiful and sunny, so there should be a chance to get some light. But unfortunately, the sun is extremely low, so it's the garden is in shadow because of the neighboring houses. So I will have to do with some flash. I have some nice ambient light, but I will probably have to fill around with some flash to get some light in, on the flowers themselves. And we'll see what I can do about that. And also, we'll definitely have to get low, because these flowers are just a few inches high. And getting them in the frame with a good perspective means that the camera has to be almost flush with the ground. And I'm going to tell you how to get your camera down there in a good way. So, that'll be today's program. But before we get that far, I will have to brew a cup of coffee, because I like to have coffee. And I'm actually just brewing in a thermos cup so that I can bring it out there. This is not any cup of coffee. It's actually a very good cup of latte. I'm in the lucky position that I have this beautiful Italian machine that can brew me a cup of a latte with milk and everything. So we'll see. And my dog wants to get out too, so that's a very good occasion to find my way outside. Okay, I'll need some milk. And when this is done, I will relieve you from your kitchen duties and take you into the garden. Before that, we'll probably just run through the gear that we need what lenses, etc. This might be a bit noisy, frothing the milk, so if you'll pardon me for a moment. Okay, that should do it. In goes the coffee. And on goes the lid, turn off the machine, and we're ready to look into the gear. Now, I did actually pack my gear already yesterday, because yesterday was an equally nice sunny day, which means that I put it all out and took off to find these flowers. I went to a local forest here, and there were no flowers. There were plenty sunshine, but no flowers. And I went around and just saw if I could find anywhere where we had sun and flowers. But unfortunately, that wasn't the case. The place with most flowers that I've seen until now is actually in our own garden. So that will be where I go. So my gear is actually ready, almost ready at least. But since I'm not going that far, I may not need my whole backpack and everything. Even though it's quite practical to have the things packed. What I have is a backpack with all the lenses and the flash. And I have another bag with some gear for the flash, a snoot, a small diffuser, some foam board, or rather some soft foam to make reflectors with, and different other stuff. And I have my tripod, of course, and that's all set out. Since I know I'm going low, I'm going to remove the central column of my tripod, which is able to spread out quite wide, and the center column will just be in the way if I have that on. I can actually put it on sideways so that it doesn't get in the way, but this is easier just removing it completely and just folding out the tripod so it lies flat against the ground. Since I'm going very low, I can also put the camera directly on the ground. And I know that I have somewhere in the house a small board, a piece of board about a foot by a foot or something like that, which has a quarter inch screw in the middle. And that board will actually take a ball head and enable me to place the ball head exactly flush with the ground. And I found it. And I'll show that pretty dusty. I need to take out the dust here. But as I said, a piece of board, a quarter inch screw, and a ball head, and you actually have the lowest and also the least expensive tripod you can imagine for getting really, really low and close to the ground. I just need to get the dust off here. It's just been lying under a shelf in my room where I keep all my photo and fishing gear, so it's all dusted. It's been a year or so since I used it last, so yep, I think that will do. And this should be a quarter inch. It might not actually be a quarter inch. This can be used in different ways, and sometimes I put in another screw. Let me find a ball head and see whether this works. Does not. Well, I will not use the board this time, but I will definitely take a picture so that you can see what I mean. And I will refurbish it with a quarter inch screw so that I can use it another time. Okay. Well, we're about ready to go out. We have the coffee, we have the camera, I have a macro lens, I have the tripod, I have my bag with flashes and flash gear, so let's go outside. Okay. This is a pretty convenient location, I must say. It's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 steps, and I'm outside. Nice sunny day, a bit windy, as you might be able to hear, but really beautiful and sunny. I'll just close the garden gate so that the dog does not run out. It's not like he runs away, but he likes to go out on the sidewalk and keep an eye out for people. And as I just turned the corner here, I see one of the cats and my dog and tons of flowers, unfortunately in the shade. And if I go along here, down along the house, I see more flowers also in shadow. And back in the garden itself, well, we do actually have a few flowers in the sun here, some of these aconites, and I will have to find something to kneel on, a foam board or something, and then bring my stuff back here and get a camera to take pictures of me taking pictures. Okay. Okay, let me shoot a picture of what I have in front of me. This is just down along my house here, and I'll just show you what I have to work with. There's a narrow strip of garden down along the house, which is in shade because of the neighboring house. And we have the garden in the back of the house, and that's also almost fully in shade. But there is one spot with sun, which I'm going to use first before the sun disappears behind the neighbor's house. It's not like the house is high. On the opposite, it's actually a bungalow. It's quite low, but the sun is extremely low. This is February, and even though it's like 11 o'clock in the morning, the sun is still so low that it can disappear behind a normal house. So, okay. And I brought my angle finder, which is a very good thing to have when you're going really low, getting down to see what's going on along the ground. There is a lot easier with an angle finder. And I put on my macro lens. I guess I will be going in close first. There are several ways to attack these small flowers. One could be using a macro, of course, going close, getting a very shallow depth of field. And the other one could be going for a wide angle and getting a lot of perspective and a lot of depth of field. So we'll just have to see here what we can get with the macro as a first option. I'm putting in a fresh card here in my camera, and I want to format that. And as you may know, I have a D200, and many of the other Nikon cameras have these functions. You have a format function on your camera. You hold down two buttons, usually marked in red, simultaneously, and do that for a moment, and the display will blink four, which means format, F-O-R, and then you hold them down again, and the card will be formatted in just a moment. And that's done now. It's pretty quick. I usually never empty my cards before I go out. I know there are different opinions on that, whether you should take your cards and empty them in the computer and be ready, or format them in the camera and have them empty in your wallet or whatever you use for cards. But I definitely prefer not to delete anything until the last moment. I think I've lost quite a few pictures by just deleting the cards and then later remembering that I actually had some pictures on that card that I needed. And in this case, all my cards are just full of pictures. Even though they're ready to use, I know which ones are ready. And what I do is just put the whole thing in the small pouch I have for memory cards, and then I erase them in the camera quickly when I put them in there. I'm never in a hurry. I'm not a journalist who needs to be really quick. I have plenty of time, so I have time to format these cards before using them. If I sound a bit out of breath here, it's because I'm trying to get my tripod to go really low. And this is a sturdy tripod, so it requires a bit of effort. And now, one thing about taking these very low pictures is actually you have to mesh your camera into some of the flowers that you're taking pictures of. And I have something under my knees here, which is pretty nice. And when I take these macro shots, I usually always go manual focus, which is much easier than using autofocus, which will probably hunt for focus because it cannot find a proper subject to focus on. And also, you will mostly want to compose your picture without the main subject in the center of the frame, or at least you never know what you want to have in focus. So with the camera hunting back and forth, it might be a problem. So I use manual for macro almost exclusively. And also I use, in this case, aperture priority, because I want to be able to control the depth of field. And I go down to like F11 or something like that. I'm running a 100 ISO setting here. People have asked me what settings I use. I use A and 100 ISO almost all the time. And if I don't do that, I just go to the program mode, which does a very fine job of running back and forth in both the shutter speed and aperture for snapshots and stuff like that. And in some cases I use auto ISO, where I will go up to like 400 or 800 ISO. But I find that most of the time 100 is just fine for what I need. Now I have a nice frame, a couple of flowers here. I'll just try to see what I get. As you can hear, slow shutter speed, it's about a 15th of a second. That's why you need the tripod. And I can see there's just a bit of flashing highlights here. Very small, but they're there. I definitely do not want my highlights to be blown, so I'm just going to take the exposure down 3/4 of a stop and see what I get from that. It still didn't quite do it. I'm taking this picture right into the sun. I have the sun against me, so I will have some highlights that shine, but I think it looks basically okay. What you can always do is check the histogram on the camera, which will quickly give you an idea. And this actually looks quite nice, except for the one little flashy highlight that I have, and I think I'm going to just keep it there. So now I have the sun against me, these nice little yellow flowers, and I have a ton of them in front of me, and I'm just going to try to compose different pictures using the setup that I have now, and just try to fool around, because the whole thing with much flower photography is actually not in the flowers themselves, but in the composition. And the more you fool around with that, the better you can get your pictures, and you have to really fool around. And one thing that I definitely know will do well for these is just getting extremely low, which I'm not quite yet. I can get even lower. The camera is probably about like 10 inches above the ground, which is not very low when the flowers are only just a couple of inches high. So as I said, for now I'm just leaving the camera where it is and just turning the whole thing around and finding different compositions. I'm trying to get some sharp flowers in the foreground and some blurry ones in the background, and that should that's pretty boring there. I don't want to take that. And one thing that I get here is that because I'll show you this by taking a picture. This is my tripod, which gets in the picture because I have it so low, and I have to turn around the camera. So with a bit of luck, I didn't mash the flowers out there, and I can actually get it out of the way just by turning it just a bit. We have a lot of sticks and small branches and stuff like that on the ground here, and I can use that in the picture in different ways. Sometimes they may also be in the way of your composition, and in that case I'm not the one that just leave them there and pretend that I never touch nature or anything like that, because if something is in the way, you might as well just remove it in order to tidy up your picture and tighten up the composition before you go into Photoshop. It's so much easier to remove a branch out here than it is to remove it in Photoshop. So, okay, I'll just use the back, and I have this back that I'm kneeling on, and I'm thinking about using that for the tripod now, and see if I can, or just like a beanbag, and see if I can get something here, because I need to get even lower. Like that. Nice, tight. I'm actually probably shaking just a bit here,
which is not really good. This is a soft bag that I'm leaning on. Here I'm keeping one of the flowers out on the edge. Whoops, that's going to be blurred probably. I need the tripod definitely. One thing about an old man like me getting up and down here, it's down on your knees, up again, down on your knees, up again. And you can feel your legs definitely after a day like this where you've been up and down shooting flowers. And I've just started and I'm already almost aching, but well, never mind. It's nice to be outside and nice to take pictures like this. Okay. Oh, these are beautiful little flowers. You can hear the small airplane flying overhead. It's one of my plans to get out and take pictures from one of these little planes. I have a friend of a friend who actually flies around shooting aerial photography, and I definitely want to get out and fly with him one day. That would be a great podcast and probably a great experience, trying to take pictures from an aeroplane. And that's my plan, at least. We'll see what that comes to. Okay, this is a bit... this is not good. I'm just turning the camera around, trying to find new ways of shooting these pictures, or these flowers, sorry. And I think I'm about there. Oh, that's good. That is good. I'm trying to isolate one single flower on the background of many. Well, let's see. I think I am about ready to fool around with some flashing and see what we can do with that. One great advantage of using flash on the ground is that you don't have to worry much about tripods or anything like that for the flash. I'm going to set this up as a slave. This is an SB800, and oops, that means that remote like that, and say beep please, and that means that I can use the built-in flash in the camera as a master. Okay, we start by popping the flash and into the menu and into the bracketing and flash, which is E, the E bank on the D200, or E menu, and you have built-in flash, and that should be set to commander mode. And what I usually do is that I set the built-in flash not to fire, or rather it does fire, but only the pre-flashes, and not when the picture is exposed. And then I set group A to underexpose a bit, in this case 1 f-stop, because I don't want the remote flash to be too influent in the picture. And just see whether... oh, it goes on standby really quickly. I have to turn that off because I don't want it. One thing you want to do is when you use the flash in remote setting, you actually want to get it not to go on standby, because it will do that immediately when you leave it, and you will have no idea whether it's actually working or not, or has gone in standby or not. And I'm just looking now for the menu where I can do that. And I really detest the user interface on these flashes. I have no idea where to go to find the standby. Sheesh. Ah, it went standby just like that. It might be the batteries, actually. Did bring a ton of extra batteries. That's a very good thing to do when you're shooting flash. Well, that seems to be a lot better. Fresh batteries. I could have thought of that. Okay. usually I set my flashes actually not to go into standby, because I hate it when they do it when I have no idea what they are doing. Even though it helped me when I pack down the flash without shutting it off, it really does bother me when I shoot. Let's just see whether this works. See whether the flash pops at all. Well, it had a hard time lighting up this scene, of course, because I just pointed it up right on into the void. But now I'm going to put it on the ground somewhere where it does good and see. That was better. And this definitely looks artificial. I can see that immediately on the screen there. But it might be fun to fool around with anyway. And I think I will fool around with some backlight or rim light for these flowers, just to see what I can do, giving the flowers some light from the back, even though it's lit by the sun, can be pretty, give some pretty nice effects. And I'll just place the flash right behind the flower, but out of sight from the camera, and see what that leads to. Oh, that gave kind of a nice foresty, deep forest sensation there. That was pretty nice. Let me take a few pictures with that flash in different positions so that you can see what moving the flash can do. Just moving the flash and nothing else. That was from behind, straight behind. This one will come out from the side, and this one will come against the sun, and this one will come from the other side, almost the same direction as the sun. And this one will come straight from above. Probably didn't work out well, but as you will probably be able to see in the slideshow when I post these pictures online, there's a lot of variation to get when you put the flash in different positions in comparison to your subject. And I will shoot one where I have this small homemade softbox, which will do a lot for the light. It will just soften up the light quite a lot. And if I take the same picture that I took before with the light from right above, this is going to be a lot softer and nicer in comparison. The softbox is just made out of cardboard, and I'm probably going to post the pictures for the a PDF or something for the pattern, because it's a nice little gadget especially for macro photography, because it's so compact and easy to tote around. Okay, I think this scene is about done now, and I will see if I can find something else. I'm looking around now in the garden and trying to find something. This bunch of flowers that I've just been taking pictures of were just scattered on a large area. Now I'm looking for a concentrated lump of small flowers, and I actually think I've found one, which I am going to get down on my knees and shoot when I've finished my coffee. And that's in the shadow, so I'll have to bring my own light, which I luckily did. Flash there. Okay. And and I've stepped down hundreds of flowers here. That's a pity. In my own garden even. But I know these will just keep on coming for a long time, so I wouldn't worry too much about that. Okay. Since this is in a garden, I probably want to try to get the house in the background and indicate that we're actually in civilization here, which is quite nice if you want to take pictures where you actually show the environment. It's always a good idea to try to get something in the background, even though it might be pretty blurred. It can always indicate that we're actually in a specific place. And I'll see if I can do that here. But first I'll just have to see if I can get my flat. I'll have to get some distance here because this is a fairly large bunch of about like 10-15 flowers, and since I have the 90mm on, it's zooming in quite close, and that means that I have to back up a bit. And then I get this thing that I talked about before. I have a bunch of grass in there. Let me take the picture first here without the flash probably, so you can see the scene as it is. And as you can see when you look at the picture, this little bunch of flowers has a lot of grass in the foreground, and I'm going to remove that because I want a clean shot. But before that, you can just see what I mean about this disturbance. And one with the flash there could very easily look like the low spring sun. And I have the sun helping me too, even though it's not directly on the flowers. And I'm now going to remove these grass straws that bother me and not care much about it. Nobody will be able to see except you that there was grass. There was grass in the foreground when I started. I'd rather like the clean and isolated flowers and nothing else. Still a bitch on the grassy side there, but let's try it anyway. That's nice. Get away all that grass. It's a very, very little spot that I'm mowing here. Yeah, I think that will work. And I'm probably going to take that in portrait mode. And I should have brought a remote here. The distance between me and the flowers where I need to put the dish. My dog is right in the way, as always. When he's not supposed to be in the pictures, he loves to get in the picture. When he's supposed to be there, he's reluctant. That's the way it is. Now I actually do have the house in the background here. Let me make sure that I'm on rear sync here like that, because I want to see the light that comes from the ambience as well as the flashlight. So that I actually might be able to see the house in the background, or at least a hint of a house. Like that, and the flash out there again. And yeah, that could work. And I'm just going to fool around with the aperture too, and see if I might want little less depth of field. I'm at f11, meaning that everything gets sharp. I'm going to 5.6 here just to isolate the flowers even more. Like that. And let's get that again. That could work. See what I could do. I'm just going to see if I can do some things with the with rim light here too. I'll take off the diffuser and place the flash in the background here, out of the camera's view. But and my dog gets in there. Whoops. Divus. Yeah, that could give a fun effect. That now the sun disappears, so I'm completely reluctant on my flash. That's a bit artificial. I can see that. I'll have to have the flash up a bit because it's drawing streaks of light along the grass there. I think I'll just stop there. Okay. It's cold and windy out here. Cold and windy. Bit of my on location session here is going to be taking some of these snowflakes, and I'll have to find a nice bunch somewhere. Let's see, I think it should be along the house here. See there? Yeah, that could be nice. This will give me a problem. It's pretty windy, as you might have been able to hear. And I'm exposing at a 30th and a 40th of a second here. And it doesn't take much wind to blur these flowers that are just nodding gently in the wind. So I have to be careful and wait for a calm moment, or maybe just shelter them from the wind by using a piece of foam board or something like that. But I think I'll be fine for now and just bring my flash and fool around again with that. I want it to look like the sun is shining, and that can be done with a flash in a small softbox. And I'll just see here. I have my artificial sun here, and the dog in the background, as always, but it actually might work as I intended. That's pretty good. Again, these are quite beautiful little flowers. I probably want to go back at f11 and get some depth of field. Like that. I'm still on rear, slow rear sync, meaning that I'll get the ambient light and then the flash, and I will probably also try to change that. And just get the flashlight and nothing else. The light from the flash there. I think I'll do that. Might give some nice effects. Just plain flash synchronization here on a 60th of a second. Manually focusing again. And that came out pretty dark. I'm probably going to get the flash up a bit, and with the camera flash system, you'll have to do that on the camera. So you go into the menu and go into built-in flash, E3 in the menu on the D200, and then you just work out. I'm overexposing this flash 1
f-stop just to see what I get from that, and press OK for OK. And let's try this again, same subject, but now with a lot more flash. And that might have helped. It comes out a bit dark, but never judge the picture from what you see on the display, because once you get it into your photo editing program, you can actually do a lot with an underexposed picture. It's a lot easier to salvage an underexposed picture than it is to get something good from an overexposed one. So let me just grab a picture of this setup. As you can see, this is my camera and the flash in the background and the flowers. I'm shooting these setup pictures with a D40 that I acquired recently. Very nice little camera, I must say. When you're used to going around with a D200, it's something else to have one of these. Okay, let me just find another of these snowflakes that I can have some fun with. And I think I'm about done here. It's not getting warm, at least. And after that, I might just take my camera and my off the tripod and just go around with the angle finder and trying to shoot handheld, just for the freedom. But I'll see. If I get too cold, I won't. I'll try to see if I can get something here. This is pretty nice. This might be something to fool around with some light from the back. I think this is a place to do that. You can do all kinds of fun things. We could fool around with the snoot, with filters, with there's a nice thing about flashes that you can do all kinds of fun things. Let's see if we can get this bunch. Start with a plain one, just with an overhead flash here. Not really exciting, I guess. But then we take the flat light there from the ground almost. It gives quite a different impression and very artificial. I lift up the flash a bit in order to like be the sun, and that's pretty natural. Maybe the distance should be a bit bigger. That could do it. And then some fun with flash from behind. And I'm going back on rear sync in a moment. Oh, I got a lot of flash in the lens there. I will probably just need to take off the diffuser and just hold it like that. Gave me some hot backlight, which is actually quite nice. I sort of try getting back a bit further there. Yeah, that's pretty good. With the flash, I can kind of pretend that I'm the sun, the low sun shining through the flowers from the back, and it can give quite a nice effect, actually. Just try from the other side here, like this. What I'm doing is actually just fooling around, placing the flash in different positions and just firing off. I could plan this very meticulously and set up diffusers and backgrounds and shades and reflectors and what have you. But on the other hand, I think it's a lot more fun just to fool around and just try. And since the built-in flash system, the flash control system,
does an excellent job of the exposure. I don't have to worry much about that. And I think the results from just improvising can be a lot better than if you plan too much. But of course, if you know what you're doing, you could really set up several flashes and reflectors and all kinds of things and get exactly the result you envisioned. But honestly, I didn't envision anything before I started here today. And now I probably have quite a few nice shots in my camera, and I'm going to the computer and fooling around with those. And again, we have been on location in a very common spot in my garden, and you could probably do something along the same lines in your own garden. These winter flowers are the only colorful subject in the whole garden right now, and just shooting those has been a lot of fun and will probably give me some pretty nice pictures. So I think I will stop for now. I'm getting really cold now. It's chilly, to say the least, windy and close to the freezing point in February, and just kneeling in front of flowers is a cold experience, I can tell you. So I will now say goodbye and thank you and pack up for today, which is easy, and the commute home is really easy. Last picture of the setup here, and I will say thank you for listening. Take care. Go out into your garden with your flash and your camera and have some fun and shoot a lot of pictures. And I will be back next week with another edition of On Location with Martin Jorgensen. Goodbye.